former First Lady, former Senator, former Secretary of State, former presidential candidate Hillary Clinton is expected to run for president in 2016. And she has been in the news a lot lately following the publication of her new book. We'll talk about how Hillary Clinton is treated in the news today and how she has been covered by the media for the past couple of decades. Has it been fair? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, July 17th, or is it the 18th? I always forget. In any case, we are going to talk about the coverage, the media coverage of Hillary Clinton, and welcome your take on this. Do you think the media have done an accurate or fair job representing Hillary Clinton? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Sean J. Perry Giles, the director of the Center for Political Communication and Civic Leadership at the University of Maryland. She is the author of Hillary Clinton in the News, Gender and Authenticity in American Politics. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks a lot for being with us. So why did you decide to focus on how Hillary Clinton is portrayed in the news?
I became interested in when Bill Clinton ran for the president and for the 1992 presidential election, and I was troubled at that time with some of the coverage of her and the way that she was depicted, and I just kind of kept eyeing it for a while, and it wasn't until 1996 when he sought re-election that, you know, I decided to write about it. So I started collecting at that time through VCRs, taping various television news programs of her, and with the intent of writing the book mostly about the First Lady period and the coverage of her, but she kept pursuing other offices, and so I just kept collecting additional coverage and finally finished the book. It has as much to do with the First Lady years and her run for the 2000 campaign, but also talks about her bid for the 2008 election.
Yeah, and you've been still following some of the current issues involving Hillary Clinton in the news too. So she remains in the news today.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about all of this, but let's talk first about when it was Hillary Clinton in her first days on the national scene defending her then presidential candidate husband Bill Clinton. And this is infamous interview on 60 Minutes. I'm pretty sure this is from the 60 Minutes interview when Clinton and was defending himself over allegations of having an affair.
You know, I'm not sitting here as some little woman standing by my man like Tammy Wynette here because.
And with that and some follow-up remarks, Hillary Clinton becomes a controversial household name.
I suppose I could have stayed home and baked cookies and had teas, but what I decided to do was to fulfill my profession, which I entered before my husband was in public life.
Wow. So tell us the significance of that.
Well, those were, you know, some of the first images that we had of Hillary Clinton, and they kind of defined her. That became how she was defined, and her public image was defined. And so any kind of retrospective that's done about her usually plays those images back to back, just as you did. And any future attempts that saw her deviating from this kind of strong woman, feminist kind of portrayal, then she was portrayed as if she somehow were trying to change her public image and is therefore inauthentic. So those become, in my mind, the most authenticating moments for Hillary Clinton, and everything since is oftentimes juxtaposed with those.
So if Hillary Clinton is crying about the possibility of losing the New Hampshire primary, then she's being inauthentic?
Well, that was an interesting moment because, and some read it as it was, and the real, true Hillary Clinton coming through, that she normally is very composed, and, you know, the fact that she allowed herself to show emotion really was an authenticating moment, and others who, you know, tended to see her as inauthentic, said that was performed, that she did it on purpose, trying to get play this more victim role. And anytime she does that, it tends to her approval ratings go up. And, you know, it did have an impact on the primary at that moment.
So what did she do or say later that made people question her authenticity after she said she, you know, was not going to bake cookies?
Well, during the primary, she tended to be a very strong force on the campaign. She gave speeches. She sometimes introduced her husband. And then when there was so much criticism about her, you know, that the co-presidency theme came out, when it was so controversial, you know, the campaign pulled her back. And so by the convention of that summer, then she was trying to, you know, perform more traditional first lady duties. And when that happened, anytime there's that shift from being a strong woman to playing a more traditional role, then the charges that she was, you know, that was not the true Hillary Clinton were made very frequently in the media.
Well, so what exactly do you mean by authenticity in the context of how media covers political figures?
Authenticity is something that is discussed in various ways back into even ancient Greece, because people were very concerned about trying to identify the real. Who is the real person? And so throughout history, Western history, there's been this process of trying to discern how you get at the true person. And I think in a lot of ways, and I can talk about it further, but in a lot of ways, it's an evaluation of the physicality. It's an examination of the face. Many believe that the face was an inroad to the soul, and so face politics becomes pretty important. And, you know, I think for much, I don't even know that we always know that we're doing it, but through much of discussions about a political candidate, it's trying to get us, what do they truly believe? Who is the true person? Let's get behind the curtain. Let's get behind the stage and try to assess who that real person is. My question is, can we ever know? Certainly can the television news media know? They may not know who the real person is, but they can show us. It's much easier to say this is the inauthenticity of a particular person. And so they spend a lot of time identifying the inauthentic, which, you know, comes in some ways, you know, it adds to the cynicism that we feel about politics because we don't know who to believe.
Well, so who exactly is questioning the authenticity of Hillary Clinton?
If you go through the news coverage, if you just do a Google search on Clinton and authenticity, you'll see it becomes a major force in the coverage of her from, you know, early on in 1993, and it becomes even more pervasive, especially as she runs for the Senate in 2000 and the presidency in 2008. And so it's just endless questions after questions. Who is the real Hillary Clinton?
Yeah, so these are reporters asking these questions and not political opponents trying to plant the seed.
It's both. It is absolutely both. And, you know, it becomes a contest because you have a candidate who comes forward who wants to project a particular image and say, this is who I am. And then you have the opposition and the news media challenging that, trying to get behind the public image to what they think is the true story. And this is not a new phenomenon in American politics. Abraham Lincoln had to address these kinds of issues. So it has been part and parcel of American politics since the beginning.
Yeah. So talk a little bit more about how the coverage of Hillary Clinton has evolved over time from, you know, from that first 60 Minutes interview to today.
Well, what I was interested in looking at the evolution and the ways that it stayed the same and the ways that it changed. And, you know, what's pretty predictable is that there are times when the coverage is extremely negative and tends to be very incendiary, and there are times when it tends to be more positive. And without question, whenever she steps into the legislative arena, like during health care, when she runs for political office herself, then you see spikes in the negative and the incendiary coverage. But when, you know, during the period when Bill Clinton was impeached and the Monica Lewinsky Bill Clinton affair was part and parcel, then her approval ratings went up. The sense of that she was victimized by a cheating husband tended to work in her favor. She had higher approval ratings when she was actually in the Senate than when she was running. And then, you know, as Secretary of State, the negative coverage really kind of dropped off, unless towards the end with Benghazi. I mean, there were moments when it would spike again. But it's going to spike again, of course, and it's already started as she, you know, anticipates or explores whether or not to run for the presidency again.
And talk about how it makes a difference that Hillary Clinton is a woman. How does gender play into this?
Well, that's another facet that I was really interested in exploring. And I think in terms of authenticity, what I would surmise is that women have higher hurdles to climb in terms of authenticity, because I'm not sure that we think about women as authentic political leaders. And so is it the case that women, when they step into that legislative arena, have an additional burden that they have to bear because it's more naturalized in, you know, our consciousness that men have historically been the political leaders, so they seem different. And I think what I tried to argue in the book was that, you know, Hillary Clinton, a lot of the coverage is very gendered and has to do with the fact that she is seen as she is trespassing in a place she shouldn't be. She is going into, as First Lady, running for the Senate was just, you know, what is this audacious behavior? You know, so it's some of that I think is very gendered. All people face questions about authenticity. Men have to, too. But is there a different dimension for women that they face in terms of authenticity questions?
We are talking about media coverage of Hillary Clinton from her first statement that she wasn't standing by her man to recent controversies over her claim of being broke. What do you think? Do you think the media have done a fair or accurate job in representing Hillary Clinton? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with Sean Perry Giles, the director of the Center for Political Communication and Civic Leadership at the University of Maryland and the author of Hillary Clinton in the News, Gender and Authenticity in American Politics. And we are talking about how the media have been covering Hillary Clinton and wondering what you think. Do you think it's been fair? Why or why not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Well, Sean, we have Brad on Facebook who says, frankly, I think the coverage has been too soft. She's portrayed as the left's candidate or a centrist when in actuality she's a center-right corporatist. I guess compared to Hillary, Elizabeth Warren is a radical leftist. Hillary got beat by an unknown portrayed as a progressive. Then he writes Obama in parentheses, and it could easily happen again. Do you have any thoughts on how Hillary Clinton is portrayed politically in terms of her ideology?
Well, I think it has a lot to do with the politics of the person making that judgment. And so And based on who she's being compared to. So if you're going to compare her to Obama in 2008, she was perceived as more conservative. But then you were portray her against, you know, John McCain. Had she moved on, then she would be portrayed as more progressive. So I think, you know, she is someone who tends to attract a lot of criticism. And I think for a lot of people in the Democratic Party, see her as too conservative and will have a hard time supporting her, even though the poll numbers, you know, show high that they would likely end up voting for her. But I think a lot of people are not going to be too excited about doing so.
Let's go to Ken in Nisita next. Hello, Ken.
Hello there. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Good. Joy, in my opinion, is comparing the coverage as a whole of Hillary Clinton compared to other political females, such as Sarah Palin, I would say that she has been treated with kid gloves unnecessarily so.
Yeah, well, give us an example of why you think Sarah Palin has been, I don't know, treated more harshly than Hillary Clinton.
There are millions of them. Anytime she's on or making a speech, the ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, etc., I mean, she's even been used... What's the man's name? anyway, a white-haired correspondent used the C word to describe Sarah Palin.
Well, I don't. That's vaguely familiar to me, but I don't. In any case, I think what Ken's getting at is that Sarah Palin certainly has taken her lumps in the media too. Is there? Can you talk a little bit about in comparison? I know you studied Hillary Clinton's coverage, but what about the comparison?
Well, I think that's fair. I mean, I was very troubled by the way, and during the vice when she was running with John McCain for as a vice presidential nominee that. You know, that there, I think, was a gendered coverage of her. I think you could say the same thing about Michelle Bachmann, you know, and that's really, I think, what I'm interested in is do women, when they step into the political arena, you know, have to face different assumptions and are covered differently than men?
Yeah. Well, I'm making this speculation, but I think Ken also thinks that the media have been saying Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann are, wacky or not very smart. Hillary Clinton isn't portrayed as an unintelligent woman in the media at all, is she?
Well, it's kind of gone up and down. But, originally when she was first lady, she was portrayed as the brains behind the president. But when she stepped into the political arena in 1999, 2000, to run for as her own candidacy, there was a lot more speculation that she wasn't smart enough to run. And, that caught on a little bit. But, she persevered. And then when she was in the Senate and the Secretary of State, that definitely has gone away.
Mm-hmm. I want to play a clip that is very recent in the news. This is Hillary Clinton talking about how much money she and Bill Clinton had when they left the White House.
You have no reason to remember, but we came out of the White House not only dead broke, but in debt. We had no money when we got there, and we struggled to, piece together the resources for mortgages, for houses, for Chelsea's education. It was not easy.
And a lot of people said, boo-hoo, that's not true.
She, her response is that was an artful comment. And I think what it testifies to is that a lot of candidates, and Mitt Romney tried to make this point as well, is that they weren't born with this money, that they had to work hard for it. There's a concept in American politics called self-madeness, and go back to Abraham Lincoln, and that people who had to make it on their own, who had to struggle through hardship, were ones who had the soundest character. And so I think she's trying to say, yes, we made it, but we worked for it. Her newest response, I think, if you had watched the Jon Stewart interview, is that she pivots off that pretty quickly to say, yes, Bill and I had to work hard. Bill had a harder, row to hoe for him. But now the biggest question is, can Americans really, through hard work, make it on their own? And so she immediately turns it back to, yes, I was successful, but I'm not sure that every American has the same opportunities that we had when we were growing up. So she's trying to, turn the attention away back to, some of her political message.
Yeah. That's not the first time she said something that people questioned the authenticity of or the truthfulness of a particular statement, is it?
Oh, of course not. No, that's kind of my point. that I think questions of authenticity are, very much stock trade within American politics. And we're a lot of the campaign and any kind of campaign is about trying to identify the real person, the real message. What do they really believe? Have they changed their positions? And if so, how? Is it just for political purposes? And that's a lot of the discussion is trying to get at that real.
Yeah. But for instance, I was also thinking of a statement she made. I don't remember all the details, but how she was as Secretary of State, running from some war-torn scene, getting shot at. And then it turned out that wasn't true.
Right. Right. And that's part and parcel of the authenticity of it. I mean, on the Jon Stewart show, she was talking about how she has to, hide in cars when she goes places so that she's not recognized. I mean, it's just on one end, she's trying to say that comment. She was trying to say, I'm battle ready. I've been in these battle situations. I know what it's like, because she, as a woman, it's a harder, I think, for women to have to say, I'm prepared to be commander in chief. It's harder for men now because not as many have served in the military, and so they have to also have their ability to make the case that they can be commander-in-chief. She made it, and then it was questioned, and it's like any kind of statement that she's going to make or any political candidate is going to make is going to come under great scrutiny.
Yeah, and we just have a minute before a news break. That's the media should do that. They should say, wait a minute, what do you mean? What about this? When, I mean, so that's not unfair to question her on that, is it?
I don't think it's unfair to question it, but I think the problem becomes is like, can the news media really tell us who the real person is? Can we ever know that by watching the news? And I think we come away saying that we think we do. And I think the focus on it, I think, should these questions of authenticity be so predominant when, as I say to my students, it's like, tell me who the real you is. You know, is that an easy question to answer? And I think for many of us, we spend our lives trying to figure that out. So the focus that the news media, which we haven't talked about as much, use camera angles, use close-ups, take us in to really investigate and look at a person's face is going to tell us the answer to that question, and it has such a significant force potentially in the outcome. I think we at least need to talk about, you know, the focus on such a great focus on such issues that may be unanswerable.
Well, we'll talk about those issues after we check the latest news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with the author of the book Hillary Clinton in the News, Gender and Authenticity in American Politics. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Does the media have a problem with Hillary Clinton? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Friday, July 18th. It's the 18th. We are talking with a guest author about the varying media coverage of Hillary Clinton over the past couple of decades, from her days as a pre-First Lady to her days as a presidential candidate. And looking at the extra difficulty she sees for women in the public sphere. And we are welcoming your thoughts and questions on whether you think Hillary Clinton is treated differently by the media because she's a woman. Our guest is the author of Hillary Clinton in the News, Gender and Authenticity in American Politics. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Sean J. Perry Giles, the director of the Center for Political Communication and Civic Leadership at the University of Maryland. Just before our news break, Sean, you were mentioning not just what the media chooses to cover in terms of Hillary Clinton, but how they go about it in terms of things even from like camera angles. Talk about more about what you mean.
Well, I was interested in looking at television news, and the visual imagery was as important to me as what they were saying about her. And I think one of the things that I think is troubling is that, and this happens in newspaper coverage as well and online, is that the images that they choose to represent the candidates or political leaders, they have full license, especially when it comes to the face, to pick out images that they wish to tell the story. So the images may have nothing to do with the story itself, but have everything to do with really capturing what the writer is saying about the Hillary Clinton. And so sometimes you can see her imagery and it's just not a flattering picture. Other times, you know, it's a very flattering picture, but it looks like a picture where she's smiling, but they're talking about a serious topic where she shouldn't be smiling. So I think those images have a lot to do with how we think about the image, but it also, this concept historically called physiognomy was a pseudoscience that was taught as far back as ancient Greece, but very prominent in the 19th century. People were taught how to read faces as a means to assess character, and I still think there's traces of that there. It's like if we can see the close-up image, we can look and study the face and try to make judgments about, is she telling us the truth? What is the real person behind that public facade?
Yeah. Well, what's your analysis as to why this is being done? Why so many mismatched images of Hillary Clinton smiling when, you know, she shouldn't be? Or maybe, you know, I've seen some, you know, some very unflattering, you know, pictures of her, you know, mouth wide open or something like that, almost mockingly.
Well, these are choices that are made, you know, and it's hard to get into the minds of the people who are making these choices, but it has a lot to do with potentially on magazine covers, selling covers. I mean, they can pick an image that has been, you know, brushed. If you look at her new book, I mean, it's an image that doesn't necessarily look like her. If you see her, you know, she looks younger. It's totally brushed. But you know, that's in some ways we would say, well, that's part of her inauthenticity. We want to see the real Hillary. You want to see the wrinkles and all of it. But in other ways, it's, you know, the sense is that we all, when we pick pictures of ourselves, look for those that look better. We have senior, my son just took his senior pictures. We paid to have the pimples taken out of the photograph. I mean, this is just kind of part of the technological world. But when the media make these choices, they say a lot about the images that they pick, whether it's going to be flattering or unflattering. She has absolutely no control over those kinds of things. What I think is most troubling, though, is when the image has nothing to do with that setting, but the story suggests that it does. And this happens in television news, and it happens in as well as in news coverage. One example was when she and Bill were going through the situation with Monica Lewinsky, and it was all over the news. They were at a memorial service for bombing victims from Kenya and Tanzania. NBC was the one at that point. ABC did it too, where they took out images of both of them crying, one close-up of her, and that became the signature issue of how she was responding to the Monica Lewinsky disclosures. And it had nothing, I mean, maybe she was crying because of that, but she was also at a memorial service. There was no indication of where that image came from.
Oh, yeah, that's not ethical even. Victor in West Allis is with us next. Hello, Victor.
Hi, good morning. Hey, I'm joining your program. Hey, I think when people, you're talking about the real Hillary, you saw her reaction when being questioned. Hillary does not like her decision being questioned whatsoever. You saw it in the Benghazi hearing where she made that cruel remark. Well, this is what happened. Let's move on. Also, what happened is when her and her husband were trying to do a health plan, it was reported she was slamming the doors in front of a bunch of senators and says, this is my program. I don't want to hear what you have to say. So she puts on an ego trip that I'm the king of the hill. Just listen to me and don't question me.
Well, hold on. Thank you for calling, Victor. Let's play a clip of that famous Benghazi hearing. This is when Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson was questioning Hillary Clinton about exactly what caused the attack at Benghazi.
Again, were misled that there was supposedly protest, and then something sprang out of that, an assault sprang out of that. And that was easily ascertained that was not the fact.
But
and the American
know,
people could have known that within days, and they didn't know that.
With all due respect, the fact is we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make? It is our job to figure out what happened and do everything we can to prevent it from ever happening again, Senator.
So I want to talk a little bit about how she was portrayed there.
Well, and I think that becomes another signature moment for her. So anytime there's a retrospective, that gets played along with, you know, the two snippets that you played in the beginning with Tammy Wynette and Cookies and Tea. So if you're the media tells a biography of their public life, and they go from clip to clip to clip to clip, and of course they have to tell it in this kind of shorthanded fashion, but those images become kind of ingrained in our mind, and that's who we come to think of her as the true Hillary. And I think it reinforced this kind of outspoken that I think what you see played are the ones that we see as potentially authenticating. You know, it's this outspoken, strong woman who wants to control the message and be very controlling. And, you know, and that sticks. And that's what we think in these kind of emotional outbursts, if you call it that, that's when we're getting the real Hillary.
Yeah, so
I'm not saying that is the real Hillary. I'm saying that is the perception out there. And I think to the caller's question, I think a lot of political leaders try to control the message, you know, and they get upset when they are losing control of that message. I don't know that she's any different.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think what if Hillary or Bill Clinton, and he said, you know, that remark, or if he slammed doors at the White House to say, you know, because he was upset over the health care plan, would the two stories be treated differently?
Yeah, you know, it's like any time we can get what we think is behind the public stage to see what's happening behind it, we think we're getting the real story. I think, and you know, I don't know. I mean, I think we have to be careful with that as well. I mean, the political leaders are as interested in controlling the backstage moment and making you feel like it's backstage when it's not, you know, so they'll invite you into that backstage. So I do think certainly Bill Clinton has a very different public image than Hillary Clinton, but he's certainly not perceived as authentic. I mean, people always seen as trying to move with the poll numbers. And I think one of the, to give an example of this authenticity issue, is that one of the big markers is, does a person change their views on an image, on a particular issue? And if a person changes their views on an issue, then they're seen as inauthentic. But my question is, how many of us have not changed our views on an issue, and are we holding the political leaders to a standard when, in fact, you know, they may see things differently as time passes?
Yeah, so is there an example of, I guess what I was getting at, though, with that question was, I guess Victor was thinking that she was emotional and, I don't know, maybe even hysterical, thinking that slamming doors, that she has some sort of having an ego trip. Is she being treated differently because she's a woman than a man in this situation?
I think women have to be very careful not to be emotional. I think if women become emotional, then that's seen as read in more gendered terms. But I would also argue, I think that politicians as a whole have to be, I mean, some can get away with it. It's part of their kind of public persona, but you don't see Obama, President Obama, getting too emotional either. He's pretty measured, and I think there has historically been anybody that's overly emotional in public is going to be viewed suspiciously, because do we think then that they have the proper comportment to be, in this case, president? So anybody that's gone too far in terms of emotion, I think oftentimes it's not necessarily play well for them.
Yeah, so I don't know, Victor's impression, watching this, following this as a voter, a viewer, says that Hillary, don't question her. She's not open to criticism. I mean, is that the authentic Hillary?
I never am going to say that I even begin to know who the authentic Hillary is. I don't think I can know that. I don't think any of us can really know that. Does Hillary Clinton fully know who the authentic Hillary is? But I think, you know, what she's trying to do now, one of the big issues that's for her has been from 1992 onward is issues of likability, and that people, you know, aren't sure that they like her. And her, if you read some of the documents that have been released from the Clinton Library that are online, people like Lisa Caputo have spent a lot of time trying to make her more likable and not this kind of image of her, the strong woman. I mean, this idea of the strong woman behind this controlling everything, you can't critique, is a very kind of a stereotype about women, the Iron Maiden kind of image that Elizabeth Dole had to face as well. So to try to offset that, you see Hillary Clinton out now trying, I mean, she laughs a lot, she looks like she's having fun, she's really trying to, you kind of offset that, but she can go, I was just watching the Stewart thing, the program, she goes very quickly from being able to laugh with Stewart into a more serious conversation about foreign policy. But she can do that now because she's got the credentials. In 2000, she, I think, had to be a lot more careful about that because people didn't see that she was necessarily qualified to run for office.
We are talking with Sean Perry Giles, director of the Center for Political Communication and Civic Leadership at the University of Maryland, and author of Hillary Clinton in the News, Gender and Authenticity in American Politics. Do you have an observation about the media coverage, the media portrayal of Hillary Clinton today or yesterday, or how it's evolved? Do you think it's favorable, unfavorable, unfair? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Sean Perry Giles, the author of Hillary Clinton in the News. And we're talking about how Hillary Clinton is portrayed in the news, how she's covered by the media. Welcoming your critiques, your questions, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Wayne in Kaukauna is with us next. Hello, Wayne.
I guess we have to ask our questions in regard to the media treatment of Hillary Clinton as to what media are we talking about. I don't think we can broad brush the media and say that they're all created equal, because they're not. I would say that your major network news outlets probably are fair and balanced. Ironically, the network that calls itself fair and balanced is really anything but, especially in regard to the way they treat not only Hillary Clinton, but anybody that has an opposing view, whereas the other networks do seem to treat both sides fairly and with more balance. And, you know, the other side of the media, of course, is conservative talk radio, who demonize Hillary at every chance, at every turn, because she poses the biggest threat to their conservative candidate. So I think defining the media and separating the news anchors from the news reporters from the commentaries on all of the different stations is, you know, looking a little bit deeper into how Hillary Clinton is getting treated.
Mm-hmm. Sean?
I looked, and that's a fair point, because I looked at the television network news coverage, NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, and Fox, and, you know, I collected around, 1,200 texts, television news texts that I watched and transcribed, and so I didn't look at any of the, I mean, it's pretty well mainstream news.
Yeah. Did you see differences in how, I think our caller was specifically saying Fox was harsher, would be harsher on Hillary than maybe CNN, for example?
I think you could potentially see that, but I did not see favorable coverage in terms of, I mean, I think it was not uniformly negative, but I think at times they portrayed her more positively than others. And the more negativity was during the campaigns. But I think it's a lot of it has to do with the politics of the person watching the show. And so, you know, I'm not quite, I mean, other people would watch the same broadcast and come to different conclusions than I did, but I did not see the coverage as positive. Yeah. And by and large, I think, you know, I was concerned about the negative representations of her that I felt at sometimes had a lot to do with the fact that she was a woman in a political situation that had been traditionally pursued by men.
Let's go next to Veronica in Madison. Hello, Veronica.
Hi. Yeah, my comment was just to do with the fact that I don't ever recall men being torn apart because of the clothing they choose to wear, the hairstyle they choose to wear. You know, of course, when they're on television, they have makeup on as well, and nobody tears that apart. You know, and Hillary and other women, but it seems I recognize it most, I guess, with Hillary. They just tear her apart for her looks.
Did you notice that, Sean?
Yes, I mean, I think a lot of people make that observation that women get scrutinized more. I mean, I think men do at times. Al Gore's clothes, he changed his style during the campaign, and, you know, people made a point of that. Any kind of change in one's physicality or clothing is oftentimes a marker of inauthenticity because they're trying to change something for political gain. But, you know, the scrutiny that she has undergone for her hair and her, you know, the way she looks facially, and now that she's, you know, aging and running again potentially in 2016, I think this kind of physicality issue is going to become more pronounced because it's going to be a marker of age.
Yeah. I do recall a real famous, it wasn't TV coverage, but it was a newspaper column on how she showed cleavage at a hearing.
Yes, I recall that too.
And also, what about, I mean, she has been criticized. People will criticize, if not a news reporter, certainly commentators or the public voters will notice that, she is aging. Hillary Clinton's gained weight. Oh, look at her hair's not really done the way it used to be done, all, you know, nice and smooth and curly or whatever. Especially during the later tenure when she was Secretary of State. And, I mean, were we thinking here's the authentic Hillary, or were we saying, being unfair and making comments on a woman who's aging?
I, you know, this the question I get asked, comments I hear the most when people, talk to me about the research is about her hair. And even in academic settings, people will comment on, I can't stand her hair, or I wish she would go back to the way she had her hair before. You know, and I'm not sure what to say about that because it's like, I think for many of us, if you can imagine being on this, I mean, she chooses to be there. All these candidates choose to be there. So in some ways they, you know, have to accept what comes. But I think imagine being on the spotlight and having your face on every cover and not having the opportunity to pick the pictures that are being put forward of you. Doesn't matter if you're a male or female political candidate, it's got to be a little bit daunting and intimidating. It's to be that scrutinized. And again, they ask for it, they choose it. But, you know, we have a lot of significant issues facing the country right now. And that is going to be the topic of conversation, I think, is really concerning.
Yeah. Tom on Facebook writes, Hillary is in a tough spot at the moment. She doesn't want the spotlight on her this brightly yet, but also doesn't want to be too far out of it. I believe she is running for president and will probably win. Well, can you just talk a little bit about his comment that she doesn't want the spotlight on her too brightly, but still wants to be near it?
I would probably say that she does want the spotlight on her right now. I mean, she's on a book tour, so, you know, if she runs and doesn't win, you know, she needs the book, you know, she wants the book to do well. So I think she's having a balance between not being oversaturated, which I think was the point of the email writer, but at the same time remaining, you know, visible so that she's a person everybody turns to. Like yesterday, and Charlie Rose asked her, you know, what is your take on what happened with the down plane in Ukraine? So she wants to still be that a go-to person so she can stay current. So, but not if she goes overboard, it can backfire, and it maybe will.
Yeah. Well, what's your hope? I mean, do you fear? Do you think that the race for president, which Hillary Clinton is likely to be in, are we going to be talking about the issues, or are we going to be talking about her hair?
I think it'll be both. I mean, I think she has to talk. We have to talk about the issues. I hope it's not too much of issues of hair, but it's inevitable that probably will be part of it. And I think my larger point in some ways, you know, I come off critiquing the media, but I think it's a reflection of American politics, and we get sidetracked with these issues. And I think, you know, putting more emphasis on really working through these issues, brokering deals, compromises that are going to be in the best interest of the American people is a better focus than on, you know, does her hair show that she's that she's not a genuine person.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Sean Perry Giles, director of the Center for Political Communication and Civic Leadership at the University of Maryland and author of Hillary Clinton in the News, Gender and Authenticity in American Politics. Thanks to Christy Taylor and to Robin Cherry for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. Coming up Monday at this time, it's our State Capitol Report. And we'll be talking about a new legislative report card from the Wisconsin Police Association and more coming up on our State Capitol Report Monday at this time. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.